I'm sort of an unlikely candidate to become a priest. Some of you have sort of heard about a little bit about my life here and there, and some of you know more than others. And, you know, when I was a little kid, I didn't really pay attention to Mass necessarily, and when I was in CCD, I didn't really pay attention to that. I was kind of like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, but I was somewhat of a dutiful son. I was just like, so I wasn't a very attentive son, but if there was anything that I did, it was the fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments. I honored my father and my mother. I sort of trusted that their guidance was the right path. And so even though I didn't understand it, I was sort of like your kind of inattentive ADD sort of child and everything like that, probably being disruptive, you know, like those things we love to do, like grabbing my sister's hand as hard as I could during Mass and doing things like that, you know. And, you know, like I said, not the wise and learned man that you see before you today. And I'm what they call, you know, a late vocation, as it were. And the funny thing about that, that I really had been pondering with this reading, especially today in the gospel, was that when I was ordained a deacon, it was at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, and my parents were there, and a lot of my family was there. My sister was there, and Archbishop Vlasny was there. And I can remember that shortly before I was sent to study theology in Rome, I had dinner with Archbishop Vlasny. Archbishop Sample had already taken over at the time, but Archbishop Vlasny was a huge kind of mentor to me. And so we went out to dinner. And, you know, you're a little bit nervous you know, before you're sort of sent off to do this whole thing in Rome because it's five years long. And I said, you know, Archbishop Vlasny, do you have, you know, any advice? And so he said, you know, many of you know Archbishop Vlasny. He's a very joyful and jovial and pastoral man. He's like, oh, well, you know, Peter, he goes, you know, of course you'll be in formation for many years to come and everything like that. But you know what? But most of that formation really already took place by your parents, and they did a good job. So I think you're going to be okay. You know, and then he started laughing like he always does. And so I really thought about that, about my parents' own formation of me as a little kid. And then, you know, you flash forward to a few years later at that ordination. And it's a profound experience. I'm not going to lie, you know, processing into St. Peter's and seeing one of the things that happens once you all line up across from each other, all the deacons to be ordained, is the bishops process in first. And it's overwhelming. You know, even recounting it is somewhat overwhelming. And I remember seeing Archbishop Vlasny come in and give me the nod. Anytime your father or a father figure in your life kind of gives you the nod, I'm surprised I didn't just cry for the whole rest of the ordination from there, because I had felt like I had made him proud and had made my own parents proud that day. And my dad made a speech that evening at the celebration dinner, and he quoted that quote we hear from Simeon, essentially, which was, "What I've seen today, I could basically die a happy man." That's basically what Simeon said. Him seeing the child Jesus come to him, he'd realized that he could die at that moment, and there was nothing more that he needed in his life. So that was a profound thing for me to hear my dad say. And now also, we hear that there's this prophecy that Mary's heart would be pierced, you know, pierced with the sword. And I, like I said, one of the reasons I'm an unlikely candidate for the priesthood is because I hate being in the classroom. I couldn't stand all of those years of theology. I may have told the story before, but when I graduated from college, I walked across the stage with my rolled up diploma in my hand. I looked up to the sky and I said, "Thank you, Jesus, never again." Little did I know that 12 years later, I would have to enter seminary and be in school for another 8 years. So, you know, there's these things like, what do they say? God, or man plans and God laughs. That's kind of the story of my life. And so I thought about that time, and my mother, so many years of praying for me, knowing that I didn't know if I would get through the academic portion of my formation, constantly praying. And, you know, there's a big time difference. It's like they live in Texas, 7-hour time difference from Rome to Texas, and she'd be up in the middle of the night sometimes praying, knowing that I had an exam. you know, the heart of a mother, the heart of the father, they bear a lot of the difficulty that their children suffer. And it was a profoundly humbling experience for me every time we pray that mystery in the rosary of Mary and Joseph seeing Jesus teaching in the temple. It's still a profoundly humbling experience for me to stand here and preach, and sometimes for my parents to be sitting there in the pew. And I always kind of like marvel at that whole situation. But if that is lived out well, if sonship and daughtership and fatherhood and motherhood are lived out well, this is what it looks like. It looks like our Blessed Mother Mary and Joseph. And I was kind of thinking about this. And I thought the funny thing, I was like, so all you need for a perfect holy family is you need a sinless mother and a father that never says anything, and then a divine son, and then you've got a perfect holy family. And so I was talking, this is some of the things that nerdy priests talk about with one another. And so one of the things we were talking about is one of my friends, Father Josh, he goes, you know, we know that Joseph never said anything in Scripture, but we know he did say one thing, because in the dream, you know, the angel appears to Joseph and said, you know, you will name him Jesus. So at the very least, we know that he said, his name is Jesus. And so I was like, these are the things that nerdy priests talk about sometimes when they get together. But one of the things that's amazing, at least every good Catholic church should have this in it. When you look back at our sanctuary, you see, of course, normally we have our statue of the Blessed Mother right there, but we see her right here. But we have a statue of the Blessed Mother Mary, Joseph, and, you know, usually Jesus up on the cross. But more than that, right below the cross, at the center where it belongs, and I'm so glad that it's here, is our tabernacle. And I mentioned this at our Christmas Masses. And I mention it again just because it's not something that you often get to see up close. One of the most amazing things is that after we take normal bread and wine and it's consecrated on this altar, it becomes the real body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And then any leftover fragments of the body of Christ are kept inside of our tabernacle. And so one of the things that's so amazing about the door of this tabernacle is it says in Latin, et verbum caro factum est, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, what we celebrate during this whole Christmas season. And there's the angel Gabriel and Mary and the Holy Spirit overshadowing our Blessed Mother as Jesus comes into the world. It's an amazing thing. And so every time you look up at the sanctuary, you gaze upon the Holy Family, on Mary and Joseph and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the Ark of the Covenant was the old Ark in the old covenant, and then Mary is the new Ark, Mary in her own body. The old Ark of the Covenant, what did it have in it? It had the Ten Commandments, so the law, the staff of Aaron representing priesthood, and then it has manna, the bread from heaven that fed the Israelites in the desert. What does Mary contain inside of her very body? Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, who is the eternal high priest, the fulfillment of Aaron's priesthood, and also the fulfillment of the law. These things are amazing aspects of our faith, these types that we see in Holy Scripture. It's unbelievable. And so every time we walk in, we are reminded of what holy parenthood and sonship and daughtership really is. There's an obedience there, a docility there, and we heard that kind of in our second reading today. And I'm a huge fan of the movie It's a Wonderful Life, and so some of you might have seen it this Christmas season, and I mentioned it the other day, but there's another aspect that you might notice from that movie. In It's a Wonderful Life, you see that George Bailey has a lot of grand ideas about what he wants his life to be like. But you also see that he recognizes what a good man that his father is, what a good thing he's doing. And he kind of fights against that a little bit in his own life, about the responsibility that his father has taken on and the dreams that he has that he wants to fulfill. And then we also notice something else unique about that, is that when the correspondence happens about Clarence, the angel, and everything, we notice St. Joseph is one of the main communicators in heaven that is helping Clarence to help George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. It's an amazing, amazing movie about fathership and what that looks like. And so St. Joseph is helping Clarence for George to embrace what it's like to be a father that sacrifices everything. So when his plans start to go out of the window, what's the thing that he does? He gives up. He sacrifices much of his desires. And he fights against this too. It's not easy for him. He fights against it in his life. But eventually what ends up happening is he realizes that his father's mission, what he was doing by having the bank, the building and loan to help other people, was more important than his own dreams of traveling the world and being an explorer. And so he ends up following in his father's footsteps, even though it was difficult. And my favorite part about the end of that movie is, of course, when Clarence's book is on that big pile of money at the end there, he opens the book up and it says, you know, remember, George, no man is a failure that has friends. It's an amazing movie. So if you haven't watched it before this year, you should watch it again. But this amazing example that we have before us of Mary and Joseph is the model that we want in our lives. This year, Pope Francis announced that this is going to be a year of St. Joseph. And here at St. Cecilia's this year, we're going to do a consecration to St. Joseph, which if you look on the website, there's a little banner with information about that, which will end on the Feast of St. Joseph, which is March 19th. So there's so much things that we can learn from the Holy Family. There's so many things that we can learn by submitting to and honoring our parents by the way that we live our life. And I'm not saying that it's easy to do, but if we look at the way that our Blessed Mother Mary and Joseph cooperated in the life, remember, it's just like Jesus gets to choose his own parents. So why wouldn't we honor the people that Jesus chose to be the ones that would lead his life here on earth? It's such an important thing for us to realize that through their prayers and intercession on our behalf, that we could become holier people. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And so just as Jesus chooses them, many of us are chosen for unique missions in our life. And sometimes we're reluctant to accept them. But once we accept them, we really start to find out what true happiness really is. And just like good earthly parents, our good heavenly parents, they just keep us on the right path. And remember, I always remind all of us of this, the right path is the one that's oriented towards God in heaven. That's where we're ultimately ending up. And the very last thing I want to say today is that just as a reminder of our Catholic faith, we don't celebrate Christmas Day. That's not the day. It's a season. I think it says it actually on our little marquee outside of the school. It's not just one day. It's a season. So all of you, and we hear this in our gospel as well, two turtle doves or a pair of pigeons. And it reminds us of the Christmas carol, 12 Days of Christmas. And so there's many kind of arguments about the origin of that, so I'm not really going to go into it. But in the end, it can be kind of brought into the church. And they say, and it can be used kind of as a catechetical tool. And I'll go over those things here real quick. So on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge and a pear tree. Like I said at Christmas time, two things that are completely inseparable are the birth of Jesus Christ and his passion, death, and resurrection, his life on the cross. Our true love is Jesus and God the Father. A partridge and a pear tree is Jesus Christ on the cross. The second day of Christmas, the two turtle doves are the Old and the New Testament, which we hear today in the gospel. The three French hens stood for faith, hope, and love, the theological virtues. And for those that pray the rosary, the first three Hail Marys are always devoted for an increase of faith, hope, and love. The four calling birds were the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The five golden rings re-represented the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. And that describes the fall of man and original sin and the great love of God in sending a Savior. The six geese laying stood for the 6 days in which God created the earth. Seven swans a-swimming represented the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit and the seven sacraments. The eight maids milking are the eight Beatitudes. The nine ladies dancing were the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. 10 lords leaping are the 10 commandments. The 11 pipers stood for the 11 faithful apostles. The 12 drummers drumming symbolized the 12 points of belief in our Apostles' Creed, which we do at every Sunday Mass. It's a great reminder that these precepts of the faith are taught to us first by our parents. So Mary and Joseph are spiritual parents for us as well. And so to ask them for help, just as we would ask for our parents' help, is to guide yourself and keep you on the path to heaven itself. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.